And it's that time once again. That's right. If you're tuning in, and it's 11:06 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021, you have the Power Hour with Dave Prieger. So it's nice to be here. Nice to have you with us. Our toll-free number 844-769-2944, and you know what that line is for. You pick it up and you push those buttons that I just gave you the numbers of, and you dial in and you talk to me. So I'm not here talking to myself, right? No, I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to you. Hey, we got the Power Mall holiday sale going on. 15% off site-wide. You don't even need a code, and the discount will be applied at checkout. It ends November 30th. It excludes all the dropship products, but you can shop online anytime, 24/7 at thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. Hopefully we're not confusing you too much with phone numbers, but my number right here is 844-769-2944. We've got a Texas gubernatorial candidate coming up at the bottom of the hour, at the top of the next hour here at the Power Hour. We have a Google whistleblower that swears he has a credible fear Google could be trying to off him. He's a whistleblower. He's going to be joining us at the top of the next hour here on the Power Hour. So you want to stay with us. We've got an interesting show today as we approach the L-tryptophan-laced holiday. And speaking of holidays, must be a big one. San Francisco, great place to go shopping, especially if you want to get stuff for free. The Epic Times is reporting that mobs of smash-and-grab robbers have targeted other businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area over the weekend. Get this, robbing cannabis dispensaries. Now, there you go. What do you think they're going to do with all the drugs they stole out of there? Yep, pharmacies. You know what they're going to do with those. Other businesses in Oakland. Looters also targeted a Nordstrom in Walnut Creek, a Louis Vuitton store in San Francisco, a jewelry store in a Hayward Mall. But looters also targeted other businesses, at least 24 of them, according to the Oakland police chief. Roving caravans of vehicles targeting cannabis operations, retail shops throughout the city of Oakland. They also targeted a Walgreens location there. According to officials and locals, a man battling cancer said he tried to go to the store on Sunday, found it closed. David Mastey says, I've got cancer. I'm trying to get certain medications filled, and they tell you to go to another Walgreens. Well, good luck with that, Mr. Massey. If they keep breaking into these stores and looting these stores, you may never be able to get your cancer meds. But one of the interesting things, while these people are looting stores and getting free stuff and not getting caught, Jeff Bezos has donated $100 million to the Obama Foundation. The largest individual contribution the Chicago-based nonprofit has received to date. Bezos is the second richest person in the world behind, guess who? Elon Musk. He's making the multi-million dollar donation in honor of Representative John Lewis, a Democrat from Georgia who died last year, and to help expand the scope of programming that reaches the emerging leaders in the U.S. and around the world. Do you wonder what programming that is? Civil rights? CRT? Yeah, we'll get into that here in a little bit. You know that whenever they make big donations like that to a foundation, the tax write-off really is not the issue here. It's what they're going to do with the money that makes a difference. The Mercola website is basically saying, as we just discovered this morning from a release, is that the COVID-19 jab benefits have been exaggerated. That's one of the most commonly used tricks to make a drug look more effective than it is in real-world setting, is to conflate absolute and relative risk reduction. Oh, yeah, it's the safest thing you're going to take. They tell you in the grocery store when you go in there and sit in a chair and the pharmacist claims to be watching you while he's filling orders so they can make the phone call to 911 if you happen to keel over from an adverse event. While AstraZeneca boasted a relative reduction of 100%, the absolute reduction was actually 0.01%. So understand the lies. I mean, you talk about exaggerated, that's exaggerated. For the Pfizer shot, the relative risk reduction was initially 95%. but the absolute risk reduction was only 0.84%. Not even a point. In AstraZeneca's trial, only 0.04 of a point of people in the vaccine group and 0.88% in the placebo group were actually infected with SARS-CoV-2. When the background risk of infection is that low, even a 100% absolute risk reduction becomes near meaningless. But yet, why do they do this? Because it's part of their narrative. They want to get as many people with the jab as possible. But research is showing the majority of SARS-CoV-2 specific antibodies in obese COVID-19 patients are autoimmune and not neutralizing. This means that if you are obese, you're at risk of developing autoimmune problems if you get the natural infection. You're also at higher risk of a serious infection, as the antibodies your body produces are not the neutralizing kind that kill the virus. Does the same hold true for antibodies made in response to the COVID jab? Yeah, at nearly 72%, Vermont has the highest rate of fully vaccinated residents in the country. Yet the COVID cases are suddenly surging to new heights. Now, why do you think that is? I can tell you. You want to believe what I'm going to say? You can do your research, too. The reason that you see COVID cases surging to new heights is because of what is in the jab. You go to the drugstore, you get a flu shot. What does it contain? A little bit of the flu. And so you might get sick a little, you might not. All right, so then you go get the COVID jab because you believe everything the government tells you, right? Let's hope not. So they lie to you and they tell you it's the safest drug you can take and don't worry about it. And if you get COVID, it won't be as bad. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's the same thing as the flu. It's the same narrative as the flu shot, right? Except one thing. The flu shot, they're not injecting you with a bioweapon. In the jab, 9 out of 10 front page or frontline doctors, yeah, I say front page because they are making front page, they're all saying that this is nothing but an effort to depopulate the United States and the rest of the world, especially if you're a senior citizen. That way, when you die, they don't pay Social Security benefits much longer. Your spouse might get a parting benefit, and that'd be the extent of it. So understand, according to this article, data from physician assistant Deborah Conrad show that vaccinated people, counting anybody who got one or more shots, regardless of time since the injection, you ready for this? Are you sitting down? Are 9 times more likely to be hospitalized than the unvaccinated. Yet over in Germany, where everybody is protesting the jab, Angela Merkel, the outgoing German chancellor, her husband, has decided to jump into the fray and open his big mouth. He's a professor. RT's reporting Mr. Sauer. Yeah, Sauer. Gee, what a name. Has blasted unvaccinated citizens, saying they're ignoring science and being lazy. It's funny. He says it's astonishing that a third of the population does not follow scientific evidence. Really? Partly this is due to certain laziness and complacency of Germans. Yeah, they're too busy drinking German beer and eating sauerbraten, right, Sauer? Rare public comments, my foot. This guy's a moron, just like his outgoing wife. They don't get it. Either that or they drank the Kool-Aid and they know what they're doing. They know when they tell people you're lazy and you need to go get the jab, they know what the jab potentially is going to do to these people. Otherwise, why would the husband of an outgoing chancellor come out and open his big mouth on the media? Why would they do that? Good question, right? A judge-ordered education plan in North Carolina is reflecting trends in, you guessed it, CRT. According to an education advocacy group, Epoch Times reporting the methods, ideologies, and funding of an education plan had come into question after a North Carolina Superior Court judge ordered state financial executives to fund a plan that one investigative reporter says is more of the same disguised indoctrination programming. You gotta love that. The judge, David Lee, ordered a transfer of $189.8 million to the Department of Health and Human Services $1.5 billion to the Department of Public Instruction and $41.3 million to the University of North Carolina System for the implementation and management of the plan. And they're saying it's an investigation of the separation of powers. According to a spokesman for Senate Republicans, the North Carolina State Constitution allows for only legislatures to decide which policies are enacted into law and how much money is spent on those policies. Yeah, you gotta love that when people step over the line and tread into that gray area we call checks and balances. Sherry in Kansas, good morning. How are you doing?
Okay, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Hey, is it not true that both the American Bar Association and the American Medical Association have really no legal or lawful status as far as they're more like trade unions and yet so often they're treated like part of the government?
Well, the American Medical Association and the American Bar Association are actually organizations that have a vested interest in governing the safe practice and fluid practice, do no harm practice of attorneys and doctors. And the thing is that if you look into the Bar Association, for example, we've had several attorneys in multiple states suing their bars because their bars have come out and contributed out of the dues of these dues-paying attorneys, Sherry, that they basically are putting out position papers that these dues-paying members don't agree with, and so the dues-paying members are filing suit. Now, when a dues-paying attorney who's a member of the bar goes into court and commits a serious flub or does something illegal, well, the state bar, which is recognized by the Supreme Court of the state that the attorney is practicing in, then proceeds to commence to file a complaint, and it's the Supreme Court of that state that actually rules based on the bar complaint. So the licenses are issued by the Supreme Court of the state that each attorney is practicing in, but the bar basically is kind of like the police of the attorneys, much like the American Medical Association is. However, my understanding of the Medical Association is if they want to recommend something past taking a doctor's medical license away, they have the power to do it according to the state, but they want to bring criminal charges. Those have to be referred to the state's prosecuting attorney for the county that the doctor is in. So this is my understanding of the entire thing. But in essence, Sherry, you're right. Both of them are clubs. Both of them are private clubs that have dues-paying members, and they pay hefty insurance fees to cover the boondoggles that they may create.
Well, I've recently heard a couple of interviews on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on his new book on Fauci, and he talks about captured agencies. I would say those are the ultimate captured agencies, the medical system and the court system.
Yeah, I would say that, and given what we just saw last week, I'd say the court system is in dire need of an enema. Because what happened with the judge in that case in Rittenhouse, even allowing this case to even be brought based on the evidence, I mean, they should have beat this at the preliminary hearing. It's just that Kyle Rittenhouse got into a wrong turn with the original attorneys that he hired, and they kept him in jail longer than he should have been. In fact, nobody who is trying to plead out on a self-defense charge, and this is basically if they're trying to get out of a charge of a crime based on a self-defense charge, they basically should be out of prison. They need to bond out as soon as possible because the narrative beats up on them the longer they stay in the pen. And that was the fault of Rittenhouse's earlier lawyers. The funny thing about it is, Sherry, this morning, now we're looking at a potential federal look-see into Kyle Rittenhouse. Even though the jury said he was found not guilty, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, who's a Democrat from New York, you know that guy, kind of looks like he's sick. every time you see him? Well, he's asking the DOJ to charge Kyle Rittenhouse, and it's like, okay. Now, you see, this is where the justice system becomes politically motivated. This is where it's all wrong. This is where the private club doesn't even stand up for what's right, Sherry. So you're right about that, well, and what RFK is saying.
Well, how did those going to Colorado, how did those FBI guys even have the right to break into that woman's house? I heard they actually hit four different people in Colorado, and not just her, but three other places. But there,
right,
they bashed in her door.
That's
not even their jurisdiction.
Correct. It's not their jurisdiction, but what happened was is the National School Board Association went to the White House, and the White House made the DOJ and made the federal government their supposed implied jurisdiction, when in fact none of these activists that are pursuing their local boards of education have crossed state lines. And even if an institution is receiving federal funds, these officials that are serving on school boards are locally elected. So I would think that if somebody's got a peeve with a school board, they've got a right to bring that and show up at a school board hearing. And, you know, as long as they don't get crazy and start shooting up the place, you know, open speech, free speech is allowed. And if these school boards want to sit there and play the games with their constituents and the parents that Loudoun County, Virginia's school board did, well, you see what the results of that are. Because eventually the parents are going to realize, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. And to have somebody just bash in their front door and handcuff the woman and threaten her and her family, I would say that, you know, there might be a lawsuit there for violation of 42 U.S.C. 1983. And I'm not practicing law here. I'm just suggesting that somebody's civil rights may have been violated here.
Well, and think about bashing in somebody's door this time of year in Colorado. I mean, I've been in construction. I know what it would cost to replace a door on a nice house.
No doubt. Know? Yep, so that's a couple thousand damage.
Yeah.
They're just trying to make a point with their federal overreach, Sherry.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I had, Dave. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in this morning. All right, here you go. The number, 844-769-2944. Those people that have been killed, I would say murdered, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, they have been identified as Virginia Sorensen, 79, Leanna Owen, 71, Tamara Duran, 52, Jane Kulik, 52, and William Wilhelm Hospital, 82. They were hit by this SUV, and Waukesha Police Chief Daniel Thompson confirmed their deaths. They were part of the Milwaukee Dancing Grannies, part of them were. Apparently, they were just, you know, passionate about what they were doing, dancing in the parade line. And according to them, Sorensen, the 79-year-old, was the glue that held them together. This was on a Facebook post. But now we want to talk about exactly who the guy was that hit him. You got to wonder about that, because the guy that hit him, there's a problem. You don't hear the mainstream media barking about that, do you? See, here's a real problem. Because when you look at the suspect who has been arrested and charged, Daryl Brooks, 39 years old, he was just let out of jail on a $1,000 bond. The guy has had a rap sheet since 1999. The guy is black, African American, I don't care what you want to call him. He was charged with 5 counts of intentional homicide, which means since all these victims are white, ask yourself, is this a hate crime? Is this a get even for the Rittenhouse verdict? What exactly is going on here? Was Brooks paid by somebody? Nah, these are all conspiracy theories. The cops are still investigating. The chief says we're confident that Mr. Brooks acted alone, but he just posted a $1,000 cash bond earlier in the month. And according to court documents, he's charged in that case with restricting or obstructing an officer, bail jumping, and battery. So you really think that this guy's got much of a leg to stand on? And I'd like to know who the judge was. This guy's a rapper, Math Boy Fly. Oh, my. Milwaukee-based, born and raised rapper. He was charged on November 5th with two felonies and three misdemeanors in a domestic violence incident in which he allegedly violently resisted a police officer and beating up his girlfriend. I mean, come on, really? And this guy got let out on the street, and this is what he does. And does the mainstream media care? No, they don't care. I've been watching the media all day, and all they're focusing on right now on the Communist News Network and MSDNC is the trial of Aubrey. That's what they're focusing on right now. They're carrying that live because they want to see the guys that shot the black man get convicted and go to prison so they can pat themselves on the back and call it a day. You know, they made their point. Well, I don't know who made what point when, but five people are dead and over 40 people were injured in Waukesha, Wisconsin. It's kind of sad. And to top that off, if you saw Kyle Rittenhouse live on Tucker Carlson last night, he is claiming that President Biden defamed him by calling him a white supremacist. And when asked twice by Tucker about, are you going to sue him? Are you going to sue him? He basically said, my attorneys are looking into that. He even said it was malice. That's what Rittenhouse said on camera. That's what he told Fox News. Gotta wonder about all this stuff. He said, she said, and who got hurt. If it's malice, it is what it is, right? We're going to be back with a Texas gubernatorial candidate right after the break. Stay with us. Dave Krieger here on the Power Hour.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Resvital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregares, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. To thank our customers, we are offering a 15% discount this week from now until November the 30th. Dropship items are excluded. No code is necessary. The discount will be applied at checkout. We appreciate and thank you for your support of the Power Hour Radio Show. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Be healthy. Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Olive Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
And it's 11:32 in the morning, Central Time, here on the Power Hour, Tuesday. That's right. It is a Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you are live. The number is 844-769-2944. If you're listening to the show at any other time, it's probably pre-recorded, and don't be upset. Just tune us in, 11 to 1 Central. That's right. You can listen to us live. You can even call in, 844-769-2944, just like Sherry in Kansas did. We got people calling in from all over the United States of America, folks. And you know what? That's okay. That's allowed. In fact, it's encouraged. The don't forget our 15% off site-wide sale at the Power Mall. Everything but dropship products is going to be 15% off site-wide. It ends at the end of the month. We turn back to the news for a bit here. For those of you who are still kind of torn about fluoride and what it does to your teeth, I think that's kind of the backseat to the real argument, because a lot of people are thinking that it makes you weak-willed and reduces your intelligence quotient, causes bone demineralization and fractures, as well as sleep pattern disruptions. Also an endocrine disruptor, raising the risk of thyroid disease, according to studies that have been done. Attorney Michael Conant filed a lawsuit against the EPA in 2020 to stop the addition of fluoride in the water supply, presenting it as an unreasonable risk. Fluoride consumption comes from water, toothpaste, and the food supply. Yet you go to the dentist, and what do? They stick a tube of that red and white toothpaste or whatever it is that contains fluoride, and they ask you, well, do you want me to paint fluoride on your teeth? And I go, no, thank you. The EPA tried to phase out the use of sulfuryl fluoride as a post-harvest insecticide, but that was stopped by an action in a House of Representatives committee. Fluoride, according to the researchers, is a hazardous waste byproduct of the phosphate industry that is used as a water additive, so manufacturers in the industry aren't saddled with prohibitive costs of waste disposal. You gotta love that. So, what has the president done? I'm talking about the guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with the mental acuity of a two-year-old. What has he done to try to cool surging energy prices? He's tapped into our strategic oil reserves and has ordered 50 million barrels of oil released. See, the strategic reserves are there when things get dicey and we're not able to get oil anywhere else. That's why we have a strategic reserve. That's why they call it a strategic reserve. It's put there and kept fresh with the intent of converting it into gasoline in case of an emergency. But what's he done? He's depleted it by 50 million barrels. So, you know, he basically is trying to use the excuse that American consumers are feeling the impact of elevated gas prices at the pump in their home heating bills, and American businesses are too, because oil supply is not kept up with the demand as the global economy emerges from the pandemic, according to the White House. I didn't know the White House could talk. but apparently a November 23rd statement says they do. So, or it does. The crude oil prices have surged to 7-year highs. Well, you know, we had a very, very good independent energy system going before this moron took office. Keystone XL pipeline was one of the first things he shut down, as well as freezing new oil and gas drilling leases on federal land. Now, you have him to thank for the fact that you are paying gobs and gobs of money at the pump. That's who you have to thank. Some people just are not thinking, or they are thinking, and they don't care about what you're thinking. They don't care about how you think, how you feel, whether you're going to have food on the table tomorrow, whether you're going to be able to pay your mortgage, whether you can get to work. They don't care. And I don't know how many times that we have to keep saying it before people understand it. But everything that has been going on, and then they're trying to get to take the jab on top of that. Why would they be wanting to do this? Why would they screw with the economy and demand you take a shot? You know, because the next thing I expect is the no fly. You got to have a vax to be able to fly. And it's like, okay, they'll kill the airline industry overnight as soon as that happens. The airline industry, and I've flown recently, and I actually heard them say, now when you booked your plane ticket, you knew what the rules were, so we don't want anybody complaining. You have to wear a mask during flight. And there's always some nincompoop on an airplane that wants to make a scene. And fortunately, on my flight, we didn't have any of those nincompoops around, but that's not to say that there aren't any that just, you know, frankly, want to make a statement. And unfortunately, it's not worth it, because if you make a statement on an airline, you interfere with the duties of a flight attendant, you are going to prison. Just the way it works. You want to egg them on and see where you get. You want to be stupid enough to do that? Fine. If you don't want to get into a fracas like that with a flight attendant, here's a simple thing. Either comply and enjoy your flight. No drinks. Sorry, they won't serve drinks on airlines anymore. Or don't fly. Drive everywhere. If you can afford it. Yeah. I mean, it's like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, right? So what are some of the states doing to alleviate these higher energy prices? Well, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has announced he's going to ask the state legislature to cut gas and fuel taxes by $1 billion in the upcoming January session of the legislature. He said nothing has pinched people more than these gas prices. In addition to relief for Floridians via the tax cut, he called on fuel stations to reduce prices by 25 cents a gallon. DeSantis said he's concerned an increase in salaries and wages will not be enough to cover the rising cost of goods. Even if you start making more money, if the prices for goods and fuel are going up faster than your wages or salary, you're actually losing money in this inflationary economy, according to the governor. Last time my economics teacher lectured me on the subject, he said the same thing Florida's governor just said. The governor added he's pushing back on the Biden administration's inflationary pressures. According to AAA, the national average price for regular grade gas on JFK's anniversary death was $3.41. It's much higher in the western states. You got to love that, right? So we always want to know what we do in Texas and other states like that. Because if Florida's governor is going to ask the stations to kill their gas prices by 25 cents, that may just eat up their profit margin, because I don't believe that they make that much money per gallon. At least I haven't had a gas station or gas jockey or anybody else call me and say, hey, Dave, that's not true. We make a buck a gallon. No, we don't know that for a fact. We don't know what they make. A lot of those figures are never disclosed unless you actually walk in and ask and you find somebody honest enough to tell you. So here's your mission for today, folks. Next time you go get gas, walk in and ask the clerk if he knows how much per gallon profit the gas station actually makes every time you fill up at the pump. And that'll tell us a lot. So we move on. As I promised, we have a gubernatorial candidate for the state of Texas. Don, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
I certainly can, sir. Thank you for coming. Pronounce your last name for all of us.
Sure, it's Huffines.
Huffines.
H-U-F-F-I-N-E-S. Don Huffines.
There you go. DonHuffines.com is the website, all right? Now, you've served in the, besides being a fifth-generation Texan, husband, father, grandfather, and self-made businessman, what line of work did you engage in?
I'm still working when I'm not on the campaign trail. I do commercial real estate, mainly development. And I've started my company in 1985. I graduated University of Texas in 1981. And it's I love real estate.
Okay, so besides fiscal restraint and government accountability, we had some issues. I mean, we now have, 13 candidates, including yourself, running for governor? What makes you different from the rest of these people, including the incumbent?
Well, it's real simple that I am, like most Republicans, we're all tired of the broken and empty promises. And we've got my campaign and me, we have the solutions, and the Republican Party has the solutions to the issues that affect Texas. And we've got the courage to implement those solutions. And the real answer to your question is what separates me is that I'm going to win. There's a path to victory, and we're on it. And I'm not in this race to send a message or to make a political statement. I'm here to win, and I'm here to save Texas. I'm hiring 3 to 4 people every week. We've raised over $10.5 million in the campaign so far, and we're raising millions of dollars going forward. We're going to win this race. We have to. We really do, because the only chance we have to save the country is to save Texas, and that saves the free world. And I'm never going to, of course, ask permission from the federal government to do anything. I'm going to really show what it means for Texas to be sovereign, and we're going to show it to the whole world, not just the United States of America. And we've got a great plan to secure that border. I'm the only candidate running for governor that ever has had a plan to secure the border. I'll get it done in 30 days. I'm never asking permission from the federal government to secure the Texas border. I got a great plan to phase out property taxes entirely over 8 years. And I've got a great plan to create a new law enforcement division to enforce our election laws and give us confidence in our elections.
That makes sense. Now, let me ask you this, Don. The circumstances involving the Texas nationalist movement, Texit, we have had conversations with Daniel Miller on the phone, and you basically are talking about Texas sovereignty. He's talking about just basically splitting off from the Union and having Texas become its own state. I've always been a big fan of that idea, but getting it done involves politics, and I just don't feel like they've got the votes to do that. What's your feeling about that group?
Well, it's got a lot of followers, it does, and it's got some momentum to it. But I, like I keep telling those guys, if just give me 2 years in a Huffines administration, and I think I can take some steam off the pot. I think I'll prove to the federal government what it really means to be sovereign, and I am Biden's worst nightmare. Everything starts at the top. I really am. I mean, the bar is really low across this country for courage. We have no courageous leaders anywhere. I mean, we've got DeSantis, which is okay in Florida, but nothing like what's possible. And my campaign is, and my tagline on my campaign is leadership, no excuses. And it's courageous leadership. And I'm the actual Republican running that's actually going to get things done.
Okay. Now you, went with Stephen Williford down to the Texas border, and Stephen is saying that the Texas National Guard was helping Border Patrol load illegals onto buses. Is that right?
You know, I did not witness that. I do not know that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. And I did get firsthand reports, and I did not see that the National Guard was helping illegals out of the rafts and out of the boats and escorting them to Border Patrol when they got across onto our side of the river. I think, unfortunately, a lot of the guard that's down there right now is just being used like a crossing guard. They're not enforcing it. I'm going to I've got a great plan. I just say, tell you that I'm going to finish Trump's wall. We're going to call it a Texas wall. We're going to spend the $3 to $4 billion necessary to complete that. But more importantly, I'm using Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution, which clearly gives states the authority to repel an invasion if the federal government's not coming to their aid or participating in invasion. And any way you look at this situation on the border, it's an invasion. Border Patrol saying 1.5 million unapprehended illegals were coming to Texas in a 12-month period. So I'm going to engage the entire Texas military, our National Guard, over 20,000. If that's not enough, I'll be soliciting support from other states. And we're going to immediately deport anyone that gets across that river, anyone that's not supposed to be here. There's 25 bridges over that river. We're going to stop all inbound commercial traffic. That's inbound only from Mexico. This is strategic. This is to make sure Mexico feels the economic pain until they secure their side of the river and take it back from the cartels. And we're going to get done what no one's ever done. The federal government's never going to secure the border. They never have, and they never will. The only chance we have is with a courageous governor of Texas. And that's one reason this election is definitely the most important election in the United States in 22, and could be one of the most important elections in the history of our country, because this is a premeditated attack on Texas.
Well, it is, and the thing that I'm looking at here is that you mentioned Article 1, Section 10. I'm going to take that one step further and go to Clause 1, where it says that the obligation of a contract shall not be impaired, and the United States government entered into contracts and paid for an existing wall to be put up. All of a sudden, that contract is not being adhered to. I would think there'd be some teeth in the Constitution as far as what happened to all those parts of that wall that are sitting there rusting. Wasn't there a contract to put that up? I mean, it's already been paid for by the taxpayer.
Well, I agree completely. I was down there. If people haven't seen Trump's wall, it is extremely impressive. It's tremendous. I mean, it's huge. It's massive. And it really is working, of course. And look, but who's got the courage to go after the federal government? I mean, we don't have any courage in our leadership, and this is always about leadership. I mean, that's what separates us, the candidates, and separates.
Yep, there's the beep. That's separated us, it looks like. We're going to try to get Don Huffines back. And that's amazing. We're talking about there's like 13 people running for governor in the state of Texas against Greg Abbott. And the thing is Greg Abbott has basically maintained that he is going to close all the inbound ports of entry. But closing all the inbound ports of entry does not stop the traffic coming across the Rio Grande River into Texas. And so this obviously, because of the fact that people are being shipped from the border elsewhere in the country, people have been shipped to the state of Florida, to Jacksonville, and authorities there, including Governor DeSantis, who Don just spoke about, they are dealing with the issues there, especially that gentleman that decided to kill a father of four. And so you have to wonder about how many criminals and terrorists are crossing our border that this government is not aware of. And it's almost like they want these terrorists to cross the border. Now, you ask yourself, well, that's just stupid. Why would they do that, Dave? Well, Dave's thought says that if these terrorists cross the border, then that means that if they happen to do something to the level of a 9/11, oh, we can just declare martial law and just lock down the whole country and we'll have federal overreach again. Don, glad we got you back.
Yeah, sorry about that. I do not know what happened. Sorry.
I have the faintest idea either. Maybe it's your opposition that's trying to knock you off the platform. Who knows? You know, when you're raising that much money, you're a huge contender, and I don't see Beto O'Rourke or anybody even coming close to touching your situation from what you've said. I mean, you don't want to take away everybody's guns. Texans have a lot of respect for their firearms. I will say that from firsthand knowledge and all the Texans that I've been acquainted with in my life. So, anyway, so besides the border, that's going to be kind of like the number one thing to shut that off.
It is. It's the number one issue, and it should be. And Border Patrol told me about 3 weeks ago that they've captured illegals from 147 different countries since the beginning of the year. They said they're capturing them now from Afghanistan. As you were just mentioning, they shave their beards and they speak Spanish or a little bit of it, enough to get across. And those are the ones they're catching. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands that they don't catch. And these people are pouring in from all over the whole Earth planet. It's a huge security risk. They're all, and if they get across, they're all being smuggled in by the most dangerous criminal organizations in the world, the Mexican cartels. And it's got to end, and I'm going to end it in 30 days.
Let me ask you another question, Don, as a follow-up to that with the border. Now, there have been reports of some real serious violence down at the border. There has been a woman that was found beaten and mutilated. There are people being, women being raped. The cartels obviously are smuggling people across. They are armed. Are we doing anything about that, or is that going to start World War III with Mexico if we open fire and take out a few cartel buddies?
I don't think it'll start a war at all, and I think it's what we have to do. It's imperative that we defend Texas, and that's what I'm going to do. When I say, well, I'm going to put the guard down there, I'm talking about we're stopping an invasion. We don't care about immigration law. We don't need to. The Constitution gives us the authority to stop this invasion. These people are so dangerous. I mean, there's a trial going on right now, and it might be over right now, but in Plano, Texas, in the federal courthouse, where the Zetas, these are one of the most violent criminal organizations, have immunity, just to give you an example. And one guy testified that he murdered over 300 people, and he quit counting at that point. And these people are just incredibly violent. They bribe most of the political organizations in Mexico are all owned and controlled by the cartels. Most politicians are the same. Even the police and the federal government and the state governments in Mexico are all compromised by the cartels because they have so much money. And they're making it every day, bringing illegals into Texas.
So aside from that, and you're wanting to send the Texas National Guard down there with a different purpose, they obviously would be more heavily armed than they probably are now. And I'm thinking, because right now Governor Abbott, according to news reports, is saying that he has shut down the ports of entry. But again, as I was just reciting here prior to you coming back on, that those ports of entry are limited in scope. And they are still coming across the border. They're finding ways other than those ports of entry. And so, this is a big feat trying to get from point A to point B in chasing these wannabe immigrants across the border. And I'm not sure just how much of, you start building a wall in one place, they're sneaking through in another. So I'm not sure, how we're going to approach this.
Well, that's what I said. Abbott's plan is a disaster. It's never worked. If Abbott wanted to secure the border, he could have done it 7 years ago, or he could do it tomorrow. The key here is to make Mexico cooperate. And the key is making sure they don't get any of their trucks in. There's 10,000 trucks almost a day that come across just the Laredo crossing. Every road that leads to all the bridges, 25 of them, is a Texas road paid for by Texas taxpayers. The federal government has no authority on those roads, and we can unmaintain them. We maintain them. We can pull them up. We have to use all the leverage we can, and the economic leverage is the best leverage we have. But we're going to secure it. I mean, this is a matter of will, political will, and Abbott doesn't have it, never has.
I just wonder, when they play politics with Washington, they're obviously asking for favors. And part of the problem I've always had, just as from the libertarian school of thought, is that these folks, Don, basically go out and they're expecting handouts from the federal government, yet they don't, on the other hand, they seem to be tolerating federal overreach. You find that to be the case?
All the time. And it's across the board everywhere. When I say most things are downstream of the governor's office, I mean, I think it's our culture, our virtues, and plus all the legislation that gets done in the state. I served in the Texas Senate from 14 to 18, and I am the only candidate running for governor that has that legislative experience. And I got a PhD in the swamp, and it is a huge swamp. And so I know those people, I know what they want, and they all want to pass bills. And the governor's got incredible authority and control over all that. And people, and the point I like to make is that with proper leadership, the governor of Texas can get any legislation done, almost any bill done he wants, anytime he wants. He's the governor of Texas, and he's also the leader of the Republican Party. So all this angst about all this legislation that we don't get done is because Abbott doesn't want it done, and he never has. He's the one that empowered Strauss. He's the one that empowers Phelan to run the state house. Thousands of appointments are made by the governor's office. Thousands. Our culture starts with the governor's office. He appoints, for instance, the Board of Regents of every university in the state of Texas, and they're all controlled by liberals and socialists. All the bureaucracy in Texas is controlled by socialists and leftists, and he appoints the leaders for all those agencies.
Hopefully, Don, you're going to be able to make a change if you get into the driver's seat, and we certainly hope and encourage that, and thank you for being on the Power Hour. We're going to be back after the break. We have a whistleblower from Google coming up next. You're going to want to hear this. He thinks they're going to try to off him. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregares, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.